Welcome, Paulino, to our latest exploration into the source material. Today we are we're really digging into Antonio Dominguez Ortiz's work, specifically Los Judioconversos en España y América.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating text. I mean, you know, most people just point to 1492 and the expulsion of the Jews as the big historical moment, but this book shows how the Jewish converts, the Judeoconversos, are actually the real key to understanding modern Spanish history.
Right, because imagine being told, Paulino, that even if you pray the right way and, you know, dress the right way, your very blood is somehow a legal crime. Like, your great-grandfather's choices could strip you of your job or your home.
Exactly. It was a lived reality. And the source points out that the real earthquake wasn't 1492 at all. It was actually 1391. That's when these massive anti-Jewish riots broke out across Spain.
Oh, so way earlier.
Yeah, way earlier. And thousands converted to Christianity basically just to survive. But the kicker here, and the text emphasizes this, is that it wasn't just a random group of people. It was mostly the Jewish elite, the doctors, the lawyers, the financiers who converted most readily.
It's almost like they used conversion as this social escape hatch, right? Like a desperate software update so they could keep their legal and social status.
A software update. Yeah, I actually really like that analogy.
But it kind of turned into a cage eventually because the old Christians, the people whose families had been Catholic for centuries, they didn't see it as a sincere change at all. They just saw it as a cheat code and felt pure resentment toward these wealthy newcomers.
Well, yeah, and the author explains that this was essentially an urban versus rural class war. The old Christians were mostly rural and less wealthy, while the conversos dominated the cities.
Which makes sense why the tension got so high.
Right. And, you know, when the Inquisition was established, it didn't actually target practicing Jews. I mean, it couldn't because they weren't under church jurisdiction. It targeted conversos. It was this state-sponsored hunt for fake Christians.
Wait, but if they were already living as Catholics, why did things escalate so badly? Because by the 16th century, it stopped being about what you believed and started being about your hardware, right? Your blood, the limpieza de sangre.
Yeah, the blood purity obsession. The book highlights this massive shift in 1547 when Cardinal Cilicio pushed through statutes at the Toledo Cathedral. It basically said that if you have even a single drop of Jewish ancestry, you are barred from office.
That is just wild. It's like a 16th century background check going back 10 generations.
Yeah.
But I have to push back here based on the sources. Why would the Habsburg kings, like Carlos V or Felipe II, approve this?
You mean because of the economic impact?
Exactly. I mean, they literally could not run their empires without converso money. Luis de Santángel, who was a converso, was the guy who actually funded Columbus. Why target the very people keeping the lights on?
The author analyzes this as a pretty brutal political calculation. Basically, in a society where noble titles were increasingly just being bought or faked, pure blood became the only currency the state couldn't forge.
Ah, I get it. So it was a massive tool for social control.
Exactly. By greenlighting these laws, the kings gave the poor old Christian masses this false sense of superiority over the wealthy converso elite. It let the lower classes essentially tax the rich through social exclusion.
So if your hardware is being audited like that, you'd obviously look for an exit. And Paulino, the text, shows that the new world wasn't just about gold. For many conversos, it was about outrunning that bureaucracy of blood.
Yes, and they were incredibly resourceful. The source mentions Luis de Carvajal's Nuevo León and how Moranos, which was a derogatory term for Portuguese converts, bypassed the official Inquisition checkpoints.
How did they manage that, though, with the Inquisition everywhere?
Well, they used the slave trade routes, or they slipped through the Rio de la Plata to avoid strict ports like Cartagena. They were really trying to just disappear into the vastness of the Americas.
But the shadow followed them. And the psychological cost detailed in the book is just staggering. Take the Maldonado da Silva case in Peru.
Oh, yeah. That is a really intense example of the pressure they were under.
Yeah, he was a successful surgeon who, while imprisoned by the Inquisition, literally used a pocket knife to circumcise himself.
No.
It's a grisly detail, Paulino, but it shows a man trying to reclaim his physical body from a state that claimed it owned his identity.
Definitely. If you can't control your legal status, you control your physical self. They lived in a permanent state of maybe, right? They were never Christian enough for Spain, but felt they weren't Jewish enough for their ancestors. And that didn't officially end until purity tests were abolished in 1835.
4 centuries of being legally distinct. And here is the ultimate historical irony that the text points out. By obsessing over purity for 400 years, the Spanish state acted like a preservation jar.
Yeah, they tried to bake a uniform society, but they ensured the Jewish heritage would never actually dissolve.
Totally. It kept the identity alive because the law wouldn't let anyone forget it.
It really is a powerful reminder that identity is often shaped way more by how we are excluded than how we are included.
Absolutely. So, Paulino, here's a final thought for you to carry from today's exploration. If a society spends centuries trying to define itself by who it isn't, does it ever actually learn who it is? Or is its identity just the sum of the secrets it forced its people to keep?